Good morning, everyone. Welcome to New Hope. We are so grateful that you're here. We're so grateful to God that we can meet in this place and come together to worship. I hope that your heart opens this morning because I came with a great expectation to spend time in the presence of God Almighty. And that's why we come, to learn, to glean on His Word and what He has for us. And so as we open today, we're going to begin with some songs of worship. And I know that God calls us to worship. He doesn't say, carry a great tune. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But we are to sing and we are to worship because it opens our hearts beyond what our minds are thinking. So as we go into worship and sing, take whatever you have carried in with you. If you need to lay it at the foot of the cross, now is the time. Open your hearts and your minds to receive what He has today through song and worship as we go into learning what a gracious and generous God that we have. So if you'll rise, we will begin with worship. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for who you are and whose we are. We glorify you and we lay today anything that we have done wrong. Anything that we have caused grief and sin or unkindness, Father, whatever burden we have, Father, we lay it down right now because we know that you're a God of infinite opportunities to return to you, to repent, to ask your forgiveness. You're a God who repairs relationships. You're a God who restores hearts and minds into a right condition with you, Lord. And we praise you that you gave us the most generous gift that we can't even begin to outdo in Christ our Lord and Savior. He renews us. He doesn't just fix us. He gives us a new heart and a new mind. And when we repent, Father, and lay it before you, you remove it from us and wash us. Let us come into your presence today, Lord, with grateful hearts to worship and adore you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome. Be seated. We're so grateful you're here. Not by accident. God has something amazing for this church, for this body. It's renewed every day. I just thank Him for that. I do want to try it again. There we are. Thank you. Oh, goodness. We are so grateful. We do serve an awesome and risen Lord whose date that we choose, it's not, we know not His actual birth date, but we set this time aside, this whole season, to be so grateful that God gave us Emmanuel, Himself with us in Christ. He renews us. We have opportunities to start fresh. I have a thing on my computer. It says the birds start out every morning singing because they rejoice in His newness and His love. What a great season we celebrate and come together. We do want to be generous in our offering and our giving. So I'm going to ask that Jason and Nick come up right now to receive our offerings. We cannot outgive God, but we do our best to be giving Him our first fruits, that it might be used to glorify and advance His kingdom, to be responsible for what we do here, and to be mindful that we are wise in what He blesses us with. So, bow your heads, Father. We just come before you so grateful for all that you have given us. You make sure that we have all that we need, and many times, even what we want. But what we want most of all is your love, your forgiveness, and Jesus in our lives abundant. So as we give out of our first fruits to you, Father, and our tithes and offerings, it is not because you demand it. It's because we give joyfully, because we want to give to you a portion of what you give us. It sets our heart toward generosity, starting with you, Father. So we thank you. Help us to be responsible for what you give us, that we use it wisely to bless others, and stir in us as we move each day into a generosity that touches lives beyond these walls, Father. We thank you for all of these, and we praise you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we have some announcements as they're going around. Church Center is our website, and if you would like, you can not only go and see the sermons there, but you can give tithes and offerings and just set it up if you don't want to worry about it. Some people give weekly or monthly. It's upon your heart. There is no set amount in this church. It's what you want to share with God. We do want to encourage you also to go to the church app, because if you miss something, I always find when I listen to the sermon again on the church app, I find things that maybe I forgot or I missed because I was distracted or closed my eyes in prayer and I missed the next thing. So go there and listen to the sermons, share them with your friends. If you need more information, there's a flyer out on the table in the foyer, or you can see one of us to get more information on that. So we have some announcements. We have food and fellowship. We do have an actual meal today, so we hope that you'll join us, that you'll stick around, and just have some fellowship. We need family time, good family time, to love and to pray for one another so that when needs arise and things are in crisis, we can come together because we're already connected. And we do those things in love because we care about our church family. So we thank you, Father, for the things that he's done this week. And we ask that his anointing and his the presence of his spirit be upon our people this week. And as the days go on, to heal broken hearts, okay? And to uplift each other in love, and patience, and grace, and forgiveness. That's what he calls us to do. So we pray for our families that are hurting right now and cover them in Jesus' name, right? So, fellowship. We do have Saturday evening coming up, a Christmas candlelight service. Starts at 6 p.m. right here. We don't have a Christmas Eve service, but we do have one on Saturday evening. So come and really focus. Spend time. Bring a friend. It's a time when you can bring somebody that you've really wanted to share this with. Kids are welcome. Families are welcome. Individuals, but bring somebody with you to worship the Lord. Saturday evening, we'll be here in prayer and song and worship to just say, Jesus, we're pausing to make this all about you. God, you made it all about us when you gave us Jesus. Help us to be mindful and give that all back to you, Father, in worship. And so we're going to do that Saturday night. We hope that you'll join us. Okay. Youth group will be Wednesday night. Miss Crystal will be here with our youth. So that's from grades 4 up, and we hope that you'll come, okay? It's going to be a wonderful time right before the holidays and a good night for the youth, okay? Our Bible study that we're doing, The Great Characters, is still on pause. We will pick that up probably in the first part of the new year. We'll get back with you, more announcements on that, okay? So, all right. Okay, I think that's all the announcements that we have. So I will dismiss the children. Are they going back today, Miss Crystal? Yeah, Miss Crystal will have the kids from fourth up through seventh grade or eighth, and then the little ones will be kindergarten through third. Will be with Miss Brittany, and the little ones will be with Miss Mary. Thank you so much to those ladies who nurture and teach our children to love the Lord. Yeah. We love you, Lord. My pastor to come on up. Thank you so much.
Good morning, New Hope Church. Wow, that was not very good. Welcome, New Hope Church. There we go. Let's get some excitement in the house. It's always an exciting day to be in the house of the Lord, no matter what you come in with. And I know our heart is that you walk out the doors a different way that you walked in. We hope that either you've been inspired. I hope that you've been challenged. And I know we've been going through a lot of stuff this last week, or this last couple of weeks, about, you know, what's the questions about Christmas, and what does God have for us, and what does this look like? And that first week, we just talked about Emmanuel coming with us. He came down. God stepped down from heaven to enter into our world so that we could understand and know what it's like to walk like Jesus, to suffer like Jesus. And in the following week, you know, we talked about how the prophecies of Jesus. Like, how does the virgin birth matter? How does these prophecies from 600-700 years ago tie in to the prophecies of what happened on Christmas when Jesus was born? This week, we're going to talk about generosity. Generosity is way more complicated, way more God-honoring, way more heart-checking, checking your heart, in a way that God wants us to have generosity. We have an ideal of what we think it is, especially around Christmas time. We think we're more generous when we got more presents around the Christmas tree. Maybe God blessed us this year with extra finances so that we could buy more gifts. I don't know about you, but I don't like that so much, because I grew up very poor. I grew up in a place where things didn't come easy. And so we were lucky to have any Christmas under the tree, presents underneath the tree. And so there's just these times. So Christmas is hard for me. It's better now because I have a relationship with Jesus, because I actually know the meaning of Christmas. But back as a kid, I didn't know these things. I didn't grow up in the church. And so I thought it was about the presents. But I also found that being poor, and my sister and I, there were times where there would be money spent more than what we could afford, which would cause discord in the family. And so as kind of years went on, there were times when we were more like, we would rather not have any presents so that we could not have discord in the family. Well, today we're going to talk about the heart of Christmas, giving. Because it is it not? It is about giving. It's about God giving us a son. It's about God doing something that we could never give, which is Jesus. Could you just imagine offering up your son or a daughter in sacrifice for a bunch of people like us? I'm raising my hand here for me. You know, I'm one of those people that would say I wouldn't do that, nor I couldn't imagine him giving up his son for me personally. So that kind of goes on even with my wife Trish and I. As time goes on, you know, I want to talk about the joys and challenges of giving. The joys and challenges of giving. And for me, my wife and I, you know, this was years ago, before I was walking with Jesus, we wanted to do something special for our kids. Really special. But we lived paycheck to paycheck. We didn't know how we were going to be able to afford presents under the trees. And so we planned and we thought, like, what are we going to do? We want to do something. And at that time, we had four kids in our house. And so we sat them down and we're like, you know, we're really struggling this year. We don't know how we're going to do this. But, you know, this we shared it with them. And they were like, you know, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. But as we watched, as the days go by, the Christmas tree sits there and there's no presents under the trees. We know the disappointment in our kids. And so we get to a point where on Christmas Eve morning, We load up the kids, we get in the car, and we take a road trip all the way to Wisconsin. Now, mind you, we're talking, it's cold outside. There's snow on the ground. But anyway, so we're heading north. We didn't tell the kids where we were going because we're ornery like that. And we get up there, and we pull into a town called the Wisconsin Dells. And they're looking out the window. I mean, they were glued to the windows. I wish we could go there. I wish we could go there. And I'm going, well, we can't. Look at the snow. It's freezing outside. So Wisconsin Dells is full of water parks and roller coasters, and we're driving by. And I can see the disappointment in them knowing that they can't attend this thing. So what do? Because I'm ornery. I feel like I was rubbing it in their face. I actually pull into Wisconsin Dells and start driving down the road. And as we drive down the road farther and farther, we find more water parks, more roller coasters, and now the disappointment's really starting to set in because Dad is not being very nice right now. Well, they didn't know that we were pulling into the biggest hotel at the place down on the strip, pulled in. I said, we're here. This water park called the Wilderness Resort has 4 indoor water parks. I mean, this place is huge. So we pulled in, and we ended up staying all the way through Christmas and all the way through Christmas Eve. They had Christmas Eve bash, you know, for kids and all this stuff. And so what we knew at that time is that we didn't get them something temporary. We gave them memories that would last a lifetime. And so we saved our money for that, and we were able to do that and make a real impression, a real loving gift for our kids that would have never been. The gifts, give it a week, they break, they get bored, they get tired with them. So we didn't want to do that. We wanted to invest our money in our memories. And the kids loved it, and it was probably the best gift, if you were to ask them, the best gift we ever gave them. We put a lot of heart, we put some thought into it, and it paid off. It worked. And so, but I also remember times when my giving wasn't motivated by that kind of love. It was rushed, half-hearted, and done just to check a box. Anybody feel that way sometimes? Yeah. Yeah. I'll be honest with you. There's been times, even when I've given a gift, not because I wanted to, but because I felt like I had to. I didn't look at the calendar realizing Christmas was coming. I was thinking, what am I supposed to get them? My heart wasn't in it, and I was more concerned about avoiding the guilt than blessing someone. I was more concerned with avoiding the guilt than truly blessing someone. 2 Corinthians 9:7, Paul tells us, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctant or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. He loves it when you give from the overflowing of your heart. Not because of guilt, not because of shame, not because I have to do it and check a box. He wants you to be cheerful when you do it. Let me give you an example. I've had and heard of people who've gone into the church and who gave so much money, like the biggest givers in the church, and come to find out that they think because they give more money to the church that they can make more decisions and have more influence in the church. And when they're unable to do that, they leave the church. Let me tell you why that's wrong. Because when you give, you're giving it to God. You're not giving it to the church. The church is managing it, but you're giving it to God. And when your heart is right, you know where it's going, and you know that God is going to use it and multiply it. Don't trust man. Trust God. Well, I had to stop and ask myself, am I giving to bring joy or just because I feel obligated to do it? And if it's out of obligation, am I robbing myself of the joy that God wants me to express in my giving? I've said it before. I've said a lot of times, we don't want something from you. We want something for you. Am I robbing myself of the joy God wants me to experience through giving? But let me tell you, when I take a step back and I pray and I ask God to help me give out of instead of pressure, something amazing happens. The gift might be smaller. It might be simpler. It even might not even be physical. But it becomes meaningful because it flows out of my heart and not from the guilt. If I slow down and take a step back. So what does this mean for all of us? The struggle with genuine generosity is a struggle for all of us. Unless you have a gift, because that is a gift. Generosity is a gift. And I want to be honest with you. Can I be your pastor and be honest? It's at the lowest part of mine. That's not one of my spiritual gifts. But when I think about resources and that kind of thing, I'm not. My gift of generosity would be time. I have time that I love. I'd love to connect with you guys. I'm here at the church most of the week. Come visit me. Sit down. Let's talk. Let's share testimony. Let's hang out. I have time to give, and I'm willing to give it. I'm sure you all love stories, right? I love stories about generosity. Think about Mother Teresa, known for her selfless works in the poor area of Calcutta, devoted her life to generosity, opening not just her resources, but her love and her compassion, embodying generosity in the truest sense. Selflessness. These stories warm our hearts, but when it comes to our own giving, it's not always easy, is it? Life gets busy, money feels tight, and there's that little quiet fear. It says, what if I give too much and I don't have enough left over for myself? I've been there. The tension is real, and it can be. We want to be generous because we like to see generosity around us, but when we're called to generosity, it doesn't come that easy. We want to be generous, but it feels risky. It's easy to admire generosity in others than to practice it ourselves. The real question is, how do we move from being inspired by generosity to living it out in our lives? That's the challenge today. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, 19 through 21, do not, say it with me, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Generosity isn't just about giving stuff away. It's about where our hearts are anchored. If our trust in God, we can give freely. If we trust in God, we can give freely because we know that He will provide. Amen. It's a heart thing. It's not about what you have and what you don't have. It's not about how much you give and what the least amount you give. It's a heart issue if you struggle. I'm talking to myself here, guys and ladies. I'm preaching to myself here. I can tell you, starting small, I shared a while back how I wanted this really, really expensive Bible and I couldn't afford it. And I started small and I started giving and started doing things selflessly. And next thing you know, God blessed me with a $150 Bible that cost me like $5. Start small. Generosity doesn't have to be big to be real. The world says the bigger the better, right? Not Jesus. I'm gonna point that out. Jesus doesn't say bigger is better. Over time, you'll discover that giving doesn't leave you empty. The moment you do it and you see the lights, the smiles, the light of gratitude for the person that you've shared with is enough to fuel you to do it again. Generosity is a step of faith. It's saying, God, I trust you to take care of me, even when I give. I like to say, if my hands are always full, close fist generosity, if they're always closed with the blessings of God and I never open them and release them to other people, how can I receive any more if my hands are always closed? Generosity is a step of faith. It's saying, God, I trust you to take care of me so that I can take care of others. Think about it. The boy gave a small lunch. He gave 5 loaves and 2 fish. Fish trusting it could meet the needs of 5,000 people. And look what God did with those. He fed 5,000 people because the little boy gave the little that he had. The one who multiplies what we give, both in our lives and in others and in our hearts. God is the multiplier of these things. He gives them because you're the manager of them to bless other people. Guess what? It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. So there's 3 marks I want to share with you. 3 marks of generosity that God has laid out in Scripture. If you've got your Bibles, you can open them to 1 John 3:16. Right? I was like, man, oh, I need to go down a whole nother sermon now. I got to stay on track. But what a perfect time too, right? 1 John 3:16. It says, this is how we know that what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. In this verse, Apostle Paul makes it clear that love is not just feelings or a word. It's action. And not just any action, but it's a costly, sacrificial action. It's going to cost you something. It costed Jesus something. Why would we be any different or think anything else? Jesus, the Son of God, showed us the ultimate expression of love when he laid down his life for us on that cross. And think about it. Jesus didn't even want. He's like, if there's any way, Father, if this could pass from me. But he did it in obedience. He gave his life. I mean, just think about it. Jesus spending time with all these people. And like, man, these people are a little bit crazy. And he went to the cross for that. For us. Knowing that we couldn't get it. And we still can't get it sometimes. I can't get it sometimes. His love wasn't given from a place of abundance, but it was from a place of sacrifice. Jesus didn't just talk about love. He showed it through his willingness to give everything for our salvation. This kind of love is found in true generosity. When we are generous, it's not about the things that we give, but about the heart behind it. Generosity is rooted in a love that sacrifices. You know, my wife and I, we probably spent more money on our little vacation than we would have if we would have spent bought toys. But again, we wanted to do something special. Something that was rooted in our love for them, not just to check a box so that the Christmas tree had presents around it. It's about choosing to give even when it cost us something. Jesus showed us that love isn't easy. It's costly. And he calls us to love others in the same way by laying down our lives for our brothers and sisters, just as he did. Consider a soldier in the army. You don't sign up for the army without the heart of knowing I'm going to lay down my life for people I don't even know. Think about the police officers. They go and they do things. They go to lay down their life to keep peace in our communities. The firefighters, all of them, they lay down their life for us. Their sacrifice isn't made on behalf of themselves, but for the sakes of others. What would it look like for us to give sacrificially this Christmas? It might mean giving up something that we cherish. Our time, our comfort, our resources to bless someone else. You have to give up something in order to bless somebody else. Think about it. If you really put your mind around it, you got a job, you work hard, you get paid, and all you do is give it to somebody else anyway. But we neglect sometimes to put that in the right place and with the right heart. Here's the second mark. True giving flows from humility, not self-interest. 1 John, now I'm in 3:7-18 says, so right next verse, and we're staying right there in 1 John 3. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and truth. John challenges us here to look beyond the words that we speak and examine the actions that we take. It's easy to say that we love someone and that we're praying for them when we see a need. It's easy to do that. Love, according to Scripture, is more than just words. It's love that moves us into action. Oh, you know what? I heard something's going on. Let me pray for you. I'm going to go home and pray for you. No. Stop right that moment, give that person attention, and you pray for them right on the spot. That's action. When we have the means to meet a need, and yet we choose not to. Did you know a good intention is still a bad intention? It's only an intention till you act on it. You might think about doing something good, but until you actually act on it, it's still an intention. It's still not a good, I was going to do this, and it was going to be really good, but I didn't do it. Been there? Uh-huh. That's a bad intention, because you didn't act on it. You guys haven't got up and run out the door yet. I love the challenging messages, because I'm telling you, I'm preaching to myself. Genuine love compels us to act, and true generosity is rooted in our humility. It's not self-interest. It requires us to prioritize others, preaching to myself, to set aside our own comfort, our own ideas, our own thoughts, our own way of thinking that we know the right way to do things. I need to set those things aside. I want what God wants. It's not in self-interest. It requires us to prioritize others, to set aside our own comforts, and to give sacrificially without expecting anything in return. Because I didn't even look this up, but it's coming to my mind. What good is it to give a gift when the person returns the gift? Because I've done something for you, now I expect you to do something for me. Because I held a party for you, let me hold the next party. It's just a back and forth kind of thing. Give and receive nothing back. Give and say, I don't want anything back. This is, God told me to give this to you, and I don't want anything for it. Don't even thank me, thank God. Because he's the one who gave it to me to give to you. I'm just the middleman. Think about the difference between true giving and giving for the wrong reasons. Imagine someone donating a large sum of money to charity or doing something special, and in the midst of that, starts posting it on social media. Huh. Taking photos of it, bragging about it, seeking recognition for the generosity that they just gave. This kind of giving motivated by ego and pride is the opposite of the love that we are called to show. God's love, however, is always selfless, sacrificial, and humble. We need to examine our motives and give for giving this Christmas. We are giving to are we giving to impress other people? Like, look at all the cool things. You know what? My wife bought me a truck for Christmas. And you're taking pictures and putting it on Facebook, right? I don't know. Hey, if you guys... Practical steps could include... There's other ways of doing this. Are we giving to impress others or reflect God's love? Practical steps could include giving anonymously. Serving quietly. Or focusing on meeting the other's needs rather than giving out of obligation, right? And here's the third mark. Generosity confirms our faith in action. John continues to say in 19 through 24, says, this is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask. Because we keep his commands and we do what's pleasing to him. Let me explain that. John makes it clear that our actions speak louder than our words. Speaking to myself. Our actions speak louder than our words when it comes to our faith. Generosity is not just an optional good deed. It is the fruit of a life transformed by God. Let's see what Jesus says. Mark 12:41 through 44. Jesus sat down opposite of the place where the offerings were being put and watched the crowd putting in their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, both only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him to teach them something, Jesus said, truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty. Put in everything. All she had to live on. Have you ever been given an opportunity to give out of your poverty? Let me tell you this. There's this wonderful book called When Helping Hurts. And we think that poverty is a lack of money. Poverty is a lack of identity. Poverty is a lack of a relationship with God. It's a lack of a relationship with the people around us, community. That's poverty. If you go to another place and you know, here, let me say it this way. I've had an opportunity for a couple years to work for a rescue mission. And if you ask one of those guys what poverty looks like to them, they don't bring up money. They say they like to have some money, but their poverty is in their identity with Christ. They don't know who they are. They don't know how to get better. They have mental health issues. They have all these things, and nobody seems to help them because they push them aside because they don't have any money. Our generosity shows the world that we belong, who we belong to. It reveals to others that we are aligned with God and with God's heart. That his love is overflowing in us. Like this woman, she loved God so much that she gave out of her poverty, not her riches. That's how much she had faith in him and loved him. It's one thing to say that we love God. Oh, you ready for this one? It's one thing to say that we love God, but don't show it through our generosity. God is a giver. He is a giver. He gave us everything. If we are to say we love God and have the heart of God in us and the whole and Holy Spirit working in and through us without generosity, do we really love God? James says it perfect. The brother of Jesus, James, in James 2:26, he says, faith without works is dead. If we truly know God, we will act on the knowledge through our love and our generosity. So how can we make generosity a lifestyle? Not just a seasonal activity. Remember, when we give generously, we are doing more than just helping people. We are acting and living out our faith. We are acting in obedience, which obedience is the love language of God. We are actively living out our faith and reflecting God's love in a world that desperately needs to see it. This is how we set our hearts at rest before God, knowing that we are pleasing him and aligned to his actions with his heart. Let's make generosity a way of life, not just a one-time event. Talking about Christmas. It's through our generosity that we show the world we belong to the truth of God's love. So we need, as a people, embrace the heart of giving this Christmas. This Christmas, this challenge is simple, but it's profound. Ask yourself, what does it look like for me? What does it look like for you? How can I take action to live out generosity that God has called me to? Let's break it down in three categories. Ready? For you note takers? How many note takers I got in here? You love it. Look at him go. Got me. You got me. First one. Give generously. Give sacrificially. Give sacrificially. Think about it. What can you give up to bless somebody else today? Practice today. Don't wait till next week. Don't wait till Christmas. Practice today. Maybe it's your time. Give up an evening's plan to sit with a friend and go that's going through a tough time. Offer them your undivided attention. Remember, you're there to give your time, not to fix them. Just be there. Be present. Maybe it's your comfort. Sacrifice your comfort zone to share your faith with somebody. Because that's the best gift you can give anybody. Or Maybe God's planted something in your heart to volunteer somewhere. And you feel nervous about it and you've yet to step out and do it. Sacrifice your comfort. Maybe it's your resources. Maybe, we don't have a Starbucks in here, but I was going to use that. Cup of Joe. Maybe, sorry, Cup of Joe's, you need to sacrifice your $7 latte coffee for a week in order to meet a need or a family in the community. Love it. We're going to be a note-taking church. How about that? How about that? Skip dining out for a week or getting that $5 cup of coffee, and help somebody. Sacrificial giving is about putting someone else's needs above your own and trusting that God will provide for you. Two, humbly. Give humbly. Generosity is about gaining recognition or applause. It's about meeting the needs in a way that points others to God, not you. As you give, focus on the recipient, not on how your generosity will make you look. Jesus didn't perform miracles to get praise. He goes, it's not me doing the work, it's the Father working through me. His glory went to the Father. He did it out of compassion and love. Your giving should reflect the same heart. And here's the other one. Give consistently. When you give consistently, you learn to give out of your best, not your least. Get in the habit of giving consistently. Set a pattern in your life. I've said it before. I give to my church. There's other places I give, like mission-wise, that I'm throughout the world that I've been connected with for several years. Those things come out of my check before my bills come out of my check. I learn to give back to God what He's given me, honor Him with my first fruits, because I want Him to have my best, not my last. What's more important, paying my bills? Those things are important. But again, if I trust God and I love God, I'm going to trust Him to take care of those things if I honor Him with my first fruits. Amen. Give consistently. Generosity isn't just a holiday activity. It's a lifestyle. Let's not limit our giving to Christmas or special events. Birthdays, you know, all these little, you know what I mean. Make generosity a year-round practice. It could mean helping a neighbor, giving to a local charity, or simply being generous with just your time, as we said. Small, consistent acts of generosity reflect a heart that is continually growing in God's love. A couple practical steps. You know, sponsor a family this Christmas holiday. There are some people in the church, because we talked about the angel tree, that went out of their way and bought some gifts to help bless some families in our community. Those people have a gift of giving. They know it's not about them. And it's one of those, God, let my blessings be somebody else's blessings. There are families in our community that need the help of Christmas. Whether it's providing a gift, food, or essentials, you can be a part of meeting those needs. You know what? I know this from experience. There are a lot of organizations out there, food banks, shelters, that need volunteers during this season. This holiday season is especially hard for the less fortunate. By volunteering your time, you'll show the love of Christ in action. It doesn't take much, just a willingness to step out of your comfort zone and give and volunteer and share. And here's another one that I don't know. I'm not the most humblest person. It doesn't come easy because of my lifestyle of having to fend for myself and being hurt by so many people that you kind of learn this behavior to be prideful and be able to stand like, nobody's going to do this to me, you know, kind of attitude. And so giving anonymously can be a struggle for some people. Find somebody in your life. We're going to share a story about that. Find someone in your life who would never expect a gift and bless them anonymously. Bless them and get no recognition for it. Could be your neighbor, a friend, or even a stranger. Generosity without recognition is a beautiful way to show God's love without seeking anything that points it back to you. Is this a tough one, guys? She's like, yes. Good, good. This Christmas, let's commit to living out our faith through giving. It's not just about the gifts under those trees. It's about reflecting God's love through our actions. You can be the hands and feet of Jesus this season, and your generosity will speak louder than any word that you could say to somebody. Let's make Christmas about giving, not just receiving, and let's carry the spirit of generosity into this year and ahead. Let it not stop after this conversation, after this sermon. Let this become a lifestyle. So imagine the impact if we all were to do this. If we were to live this out, imagine the impact. Which brings me to, I told you I'd talk about Santa Claus, right? Before we get there, we need to talk about Saint Nick. So Saint Nick was born in 2080 AD in Patara, which is modern-day Turkey. He grew up in a wealthy Christian family, and tragically, he lost his parents at a very young age. Get this. But he chose to use his inheritance to serve God and help those in need. Nicholas became known for his generosity and his humility and his compassion for the poor and the suffering. He was a bishop of the Catholic Church in Myra, and he was deeply loved for his acts of kindness. One of the most famous stories of Saint Nicholas involved a poor man and his three daughters. In those days, a father needed a dowry, which is a significant amount of money, in order to buy or purchase somebody to marry his wife. Because if that did not happen, and they didn't have an arranged marriage, the daughter would face a grim future, possibly even being sold into slavery. So here's what St. Nicholas did. Because of their difficult and unfortunate, distressing situation, Nicholas decided to help, but he didn't want to draw attention to himself. Under the cover of night, he secretly tossed money bags of gold coins through the man's window, providing the dowry for the eldest daughter. And on two more occasions, Nicholas did the same for the other daughters, ensuring their future was secure. And over time, his reputation for secret giving grew. Who's that sound like? Other stories of Nicholas provided food during famines, resources, unjustly imprisoned people, helped them escape. He helped sailors during dangerous storms. And after his death in December 343 AD, the anniversary of his passing became the day of celebration that many of us call Christmas. Christmas was about Jesus, but now you have this man who's a follower of Jesus Christ who, let me say it this way. The man that we know Santa Claus to be is Saint Nicholas. Saint Nicholas was driven by compassion and love for Jesus, because he walked with Jesus. He spent time with Jesus. He was in the church. He was a Christian man that understood the principle of generosity. And we celebrate this Christmas event. The world celebrates the Christmas event based on a man called Santa Claus, not us Christians, but there are many people that aren't Christian that celebrate this season using Santa Claus. Santa Claus points to Jesus through Nicholas. You get that? Imagine what would happen if we all embraced this kind of generosity like St. Nicholas. Because of his generosity, the entire world, well, not the entire world, we'll say United States, the entire United States celebrates Christmas. And they tie it around a guy named Santa Claus. Imagine the impact if we gave generously like that, all of us. One man, Jesus can change everything. Through Nicholas, things get changed. Imagine if we all did that. If we would embrace this kind of generosity, not just during Christmas, but every day. When I was talking about giving in secret, because that's what Santa Claus does, doesn't he? He comes down the chimney in secret and nobody sees him, and, you know, it's a secret thing. That there's a story behind it because of what St. Nicholas did. If each one of us made the choice of giving sacrificially, humbly, and consistently, think of the impact we would have on our families, our church, and our community. We wouldn't just be known for good deeds, but the love of Christ that flows through us when we give in this way. Together, as a community, we can create a ripple effect of generosity that transforms lives. There was a girl in our church, single mom, three kids, that just, she was so sweet and never asked for anything. And she'd kind of come in and, you know, sneak out a little bit. And, you know, she had her three kids. She didn't, you know, she was going through a really rough time. And we never shared. This has never been shared because we don't do it publicly, but it's been a couple years now. So I think we're fine. But we as a church, as a ministry, decided to bless this single mother with three kids by helping provide for a Christmas dinner, paying her bills for the month, and doing some other things. And through that act of generosity, she didn't only just continue to come to church, she became a member in our church. She started to serve in our church. Our ripple effect by doing one thing out of selflessness for somebody can transform the world for somebody else. And not only does that happen, they've been gifted with that generosity and have seen it played out in action. And then what happens is the Holy Spirit comes in and it stirs up our heart and says, I want to do that for somebody else. You don't keep the gift, you give it to somebody else. When we're able to bless other people and help other people, it will stir in their hearts to help bless other people. So my final encouragement is this. This Christmas, let Santa Claus remind us of St. Nicholas, and let St. Nicholas point us to Jesus. Just as the St. Nicholas gave sacrificially and humbly, we are called. We are called to reflect the same generosity. But let's take it even further. Let's go even further. Let us follow the example of Christ, who gave everything for us, and give generously, humbly, and sacrificially. Not just as a seasonal activity, but as a lifestyle. Let us be the hands and feet of Jesus. I hope that what I've given you today are the tools to get your heart right, to be able to give in a way that would not just bless somebody, but transform somebody. And so if you're, you know, if you're here and you've been just wanting to be able to live in this area, maybe this is an area of discomfort. Maybe this is good. Good if you're discomfortable about this. Because maybe God wants you to change something about this. Don't run from the discomfort. Embrace it. Embrace it. He's speaking to you. So, Father, I'm just going to come to your throne of grace right now. Let's pray, Father. We love you and we thank you that you are the ultimate gift. You sent Jesus into this world to pay a price, to do something that nobody could do. To somebody in the room today that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, or they haven't quite made that connection between the gift and the giver and what that means for you, the gift is your salvation and eternal life in heaven. But this only comes through Jesus Christ. And I, you know what? I don't even have to say anything, or you don't have to raise your hand, because God knows your heart. He's listening. He's prepared this day for you. And so, Father, we just humbly come to your throne of grace and say, we need you. We love you. We surrender to you. We turn from our ways and we turn towards you, because you are the gift that keeps on giving. We need salvation. We need to confess. We need to know that you will take our past and you will wipe it clean. Forgive us of our sins. We trust you. We know that Jesus, and we trust that Jesus went to the cross to die for our sins, and he rose 3 days later. But Father, I pray for the next couple weeks here that our generosity would pour out of us like never before. Use us in a way that would bless somebody this week. Open our eyes to find somebody who is in need. Reveal that person to us and allow us and give us the strength to step out in obedience and bless that person. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I got it. Hey, do me a favor. If you're new and you haven't filled out one of those cards yet, please fill that card out. There's a card. It's right out there on that table. I love to connect with people. I don't have all of your phone numbers. You can all fill out this card right now if you want to, because I want to bug you this week. I want to talk to you this week. I want to connect. I want to see how life's going. If I can be of any service, if I can help, if I can just pray with you. If that's you, the card is out there. Get with Vinette. She'll take care of that for you. She'll help you get the card and filled out. But we want to connect with you out right after service right here. We got some lunch, some sandwiches, and just hang out. I mean, we're better together, right? Love you. In Jesus' name, amen.